Okay, so we made a beginning to the next sugya, but we need to make a little bit of an introduction because this is a geshmaka sugya, not an easy sugya. So need to make sure that things are clear. The Mishnah told us in Daf Ches Amud Aleph we're talking about Moitzi Shem Ra. What is Moitzi Shem Ra? Moitzi Shem Ra is, as we mentioned, somebody gets married. He was under the understanding that his wife was a basula, and he claims otherwise. He claims otherwise. So who does he make this claim to? He makes a claim to the father of his bride and or to Beis Din that I'm sorry, this girl is not a basula. Now, what are the ramifications of that claim? What are the ramifications of that claim? And it's very, very important to get this clear because this is really the entire discussion in our Gemara. What is he trying to claim? What is his claim? So now, obviously, one of the two, either his claim is correct or it's incorrect. Those are the only two options that are available on the table. Either it's totally correct and she was not a basula, or it's incorrect. And she was a basula, and if that's the case, he's totally been lying. He's totally been lying. Now, if indeed he is correct, if in the event it turns out that yes, she was not a basula, then we now have to work out one moment. When did she become a non-basula? Or as we call it, the opposite of a basula is a ba'ula. When did that happen? Now, this we pointed out last time. Min ha-Torah, not what happens today, what we call the engagement. What we call the engagement nowadays is essentially just a ceremony. It's not halachically binding in any way. But in the times of Chazal and the Gemara, when a man was Mekadesh an Isha, that was called Kiddushin or Erusin. For want of a better word, we'll call that the engagement or the betrothment. And she is essentially considered an Eishes Ish. Not so today. When you go to an engagement party today, you're going to an engagement party. That's all it is. It's a party. But there's nothing halachically or legally or binding in any which way, other than a verbal agreement that Amitz Hashem in a few months we'll get married to each other. But at the moment, nothing has happened. By the way, when does the Kiddushin happen? All of that happens under the chuppah. Nowadays, we combine Kiddushin and then marriage Nisuin. So he gives her a ring. Then afterwards, they go into the Cheder Yichud. That may be the Nisuin, etc., etc., etc. So just as we understand, under the chuppah, when he gives her a ring, at
I'm
that
sorry,
point,
and is the Ksuba the star?
when he gives her a ring, they are absolutely married. They're an Eishes Ish. At that point, if she were now to commit Znus, if she were to be commit Znus, that would be absolutely considered an Issa D'oraisa because she's an Eishes Ish. She would be an Eishes Ish. Afterwards, they go into the Cheder Yichud, and now they start, as it were, their married life, living together in solitude because they're now in Cheder Yichud. That's called the Nisuin. Part of the ksuba, whether the ksuba is giving of the shtar, is a separate discussion. That's not for us at the moment. In the times of Chazal, it was not like that. In the times of Chazal, the kiddushin or the erusin was a totally different stage to the nisuin. So he would give her a ring, kesef or shtar, however it would be, and then at that stage she's considered to be an eishes ish, and she is not allowed now to commit znus, obviously, with any other man. At a later stage, there will be chuppah and yichud, and then they will be fully fledged married, not just engaged erusin, but nisuin as well. Now, when he finally takes her into her home in the times of the Gemara and finds that she is not a basula, at least that's what he claims. So, what's critical for us is now to find out, if we can, when did this happen? Why is it critical? Because if it turns out, for example, we would find Edim, to prove that it turned out that this happened between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, meaning in that period when she was essentially an Eishes Ish, then she's Chayav Misa. Then she's Chayav Misa. If, however, it turns out that no, it didn't happen then. It actually happened before she was ever engaged or betrothed to him. Well, obviously then there's no Chayav Misa. But there's a different claim. What's the claim now? He's not trying to claim that she deserves to be put to death. Rather, what's the claim? The claim is a different claim. The claim is a financial claim. What does that mean? It's a financial claim. It's a financial claim as in one moment. There are different monetary obligations to a wife who is a basula as opposed to a ba'ula. If somebody divorces his wife, he's got to pay up whatever he committed himself in the ksuba. How much did he commit himself in the ksuba? That depends on whether she's a basula or a ba'ula. So I'm sorry, he says to her, the amount that I committed myself to was on the basis, was the understanding that you were a basula. In the event it turns out that you are not a basula, then the amount that I'm committing to you in the event that I divorce you is a totally different and obviously lesser amount. And therefore, that's why we said, we need to get this clear, because what are we discussing now? Are we discussing a woman? Clearly, we know what the claim is. He's claiming that she was not a basula. But what is the ramification of that claim? Is he trying to claim that he's got Edim? He's got Edim to prove that what? That she in fact committed znus whilst under his jurisdiction, meaning between the period of betrothment and marriage, in which case she's chayev misa. Or is he not claiming that because he has no witnesses, but he's at least claiming that financially, I don't have to pay up the ksuba. That's all one side of the coin. What's the other side of the coin? The other side of the coin is that, in fact, his claim is totally erroneous. She was a basula. And his claim to the contrary is totally a sheker. How could we ever prove that? We'll discuss in a moment. What are the ramifications then in the event that he turns out to be telling a lie? He has to pay a knas. He's got to pay a penalty fee, who to the father of the bride for being moitzi shame ra, having slandered, issuing a bad name about his newlywed wife. It turns out that the claims are totally untrue, in which case, this is not a discussion of chiyav misa. This is not a discussion of a ksuba, then this is a discussion of him having to pay a penalty fee to his new father-in-law.
If he has this tanis basulim now, he's going to divorce her now, right? He's not going to say, well, I'll marry you, but look, we have to change our agreement.
So we'll see. We'll see. We're coming up to this right now. We'll see. Now, of course, part of the discussion would have to be, how do we prove this one way or another? That's going to be part of our discussion. How do we prove this? How can we ever prove? How can we ever prove that what he said is true or not true? We'll see. But I'll call upon him. We're going to get to this in a moment. So now, go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that we had a machloikas, if you look in that base of an aleph, a machloikas between the Rabbonon and Rebbe Meir. So look once again in Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Have a look, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that very opening Mishnah. Based on our introduction, hopefully we will understand the Mishnah better. In the Mishnah there, on the third line, it says, Ha'oines v'hamafata, that's not our discussion. Vahamaitzi Shem Ra. The Mishnah says, when he now is Maitzi Shem Ra, meaning he makes his claim against his newlywed wife, how many Dayonim do you need to judge that case? Bishloisha Divri Rabbi Meir. Vahachomim Oimrim, that no, Moitzi Shemra be'esrim v'shloishon, he's 23. Mipnei sheyesh boy dinei nefoshes. Because this is an issue of dinei nefoshes. Now, at first glance, it's difficult to understand the Mishnah. Why is it difficult to understand the Mishnah? What exactly is the claim of the Chachamim? The Chachamim say it's not enough to have three Dayanim, you have to have 23. Why? Because this is an issue of Nefoshes. Well, is it? Wouldn't that depend on what his claim was? If he claims that, listen, I have proof, meaning testimony, I have Eidos, that she committed Znus after the Kiddushin, yes, then indeed it is a matter of Dinei Nefoshes. Well, if that's the case, how can Reb Meir possibly claim that you only need three Dayanim? Everybody agrees that Dinei Nefoshes need 23. So it's not very clear at all what is the machlokes in the Mishnah. Either, again, like we've said, there could be a number of different cases. What is the husband's claim? The husband marches into Beis Din, morning after the marriage. I did not find that she was a basula. Okay, what are you trying to insinuate? Are you claiming that you have edus, that she committed znus? In which case, we need to assemble a Beis Din of 23 because this is dinei nefoshes? Or are you not claiming that and it's just a monetary claim? Well, if that's the case, either way, we don't understand how can there be a machlokes whether you need three or 23 dayonim? Either this is a financial shaila, in which case it's three, or it's a dinei nefoshes, in which case you need 23. So what exactly is the machlokes? So look at Rashi there on the Mishnah before we go back into our Gemara. Look at Rashi there on the Mishnah. Rashi is the third narrow line. Moitzi Shemra says Rashi, Loi Motsasi Lebitcha Basulim. This is a quote from a pasuk. The whole pasuk is a quote from Pashas Ki Tzeitzei, in which the husband claims, Loi motzasi labitcha besulim. I did not find that your daughter was a besula. Well, if that turns out to be an unfounded claim, and he is a moitzi shem ra, then va'onshu oisoi, then we punish him with a penalty fee of Meor Kesef. He's got to pay 100 Kesef to his new father-in-law. By the way, in Mishnah and Gemara terminology, that 100 Kesef that he has to pay, is that defined as Kesef or Knas?
Fact, it's a Knas.
It's a Knas, 100%. Because we always said, what's the difference between kesef and a knas? Kesef is money that you really owe, and knas is a penalty fee, money you don't owe. It means he doesn't owe the father-in-law. He didn't commit damage of 100 kesef. Like we spoke about kefel and dalad, vehei. Whenever you pay more than the damage inflicted, that's called a knas. So Rashi tells us that what? By quoting the posuk of Va'onshu Oisei Meir Kesef. Now, when is there that penalty of 100 Kesef, like we said before, in the event that the claim is not true? So we need a Beis Din now to adjudicate. How many do you need?
Three.
Says Reb Meir, three. That makes very good sense. So what exactly are the Chachamim now claiming that no? This is an issue of Dinei Nefoshes. It's not an issue of Dinei Nefoshes at all, because it turns out it's not true. So look at Rashi, right, the next Rashi. There's Rashi, Dinei Nefoshes. De'im emes hoyo. Because if it would have been truthful, shezinso, that there was znus, tachtov, what does tachtov mean? Very important word, tachtov. Literally translated, tahta means under him, meaning under his jurisdiction.
The father.
If indeed there was no restriction of the husband, meaning since they got engaged, he, beskila, then indeed she would be stoned. So it's a matter of dine nefashos. The dine nefashos, bo inon, we require chof gimel 23.
Isn't she technically still tachta of the father during that first period, though? She stays in his house.
It doesn't matter where she lives.
Tachta means he can't watch his wife if she lives in the father's house.
Nobody says he has to watch her. But she has an issa d'oraisa to commit to have relations with any other man. And if she does so, she's chayav skila. Tachta doesn't mean that he's got her under lock and key, meaning she's under his rashus. She's now under the jurisdiction. She's a married woman. She's a married woman. Even if she lives in the moon, she's a married woman. So again.
So how come the father gets the money under the knas if he's doing motzi shemra? If she gets punished, but she's on the wrong side on both of them.
Because you're slandering his daughter. Nobody's denying that she has a kesher, she has a relationship. There's even some halachas that connect the father to the daughter. The claim is against, that's the Lashon of the Pasuk. Lo imotzasi lebitcha besulim. I did not find your daughter to be a besulim. Means you're slandering basically him as well. You weren't a good father. Now, it's not clear.
Yeah, but hold on, one Rebbe wants to. Nachum makes a good point. Like, if it's at the point where she's under the husband's rishus and she's over this, but if she was guilty, but it was motzi shemra, he should be paying it to the wife. Because she's no longer in the father's rishus, she's under the husband. So why should the father benefit from the knas? It should go to her.
And Achanami,
that's Nachum's point.
The money can't go to her because she's married to him. Any money that goes to her goes automatically to the husband. Masha kon isha kon rabbi kon abala. No money goes to her. I'm essentially claiming that your daughter is a wicked daughter. So you are in turn slandering the whole family. We're not saying that the father was responsible. We're saying that your daughter was a wicked daughter. So now, it's not clear from Rashi once again what exactly is the case. Rashi, on the one hand, has brought the pasuk of Va'omshu Oisoi Mea Kesef. There is a knas of Mea Kesef. And then Rashi has told us that in theory, if this would be MS, then this would be an issue of Dinei Nefashos. So what is the case that we're talking about? So now look back into the Gemara and Daf Ches Amud Aleph.
I'm sorry, one, I apologize. So hypothetically, if she was even Mekadesh to the husband, she's married, and now he discovers, he feels she's a thief. So he makes a claim, you know, your daughter's a thief, and it's Moshe Shemra. He has to pay the father?
No.
Why?
Because the Torah doesn't issue the parasha of slandering for every single possible misdemeanor, only for the specific misdemeanor of being a non-basula. Now, look back into our Gemara on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the fifth bottom line. V'chachomim oimrim, moitzi shemra be'esrim v'shloisha. The Chachamim said, as quoted in the Mishnah, that you need 23. Why? Because it's Dinei Nefashos. What is Dinei Nefashos? So look at Rashi there. Very important Rashi. Hamoitzi Shem Ra. You have Rashi there, Moitzi Shem Ra, further up the Omud. In my print, the first word on the line is Shema Shalim. Yeah, everyone has the Rashi? It's quite a bit way further up the Amud, almost halfway up the page. Zokt Rashi, Hamoitzi Shem Ra. Again, Rashi quotes the Pasuk, quote unquote, Loi Motzasi Labitcha Besulim, quote unquote. That's his claim. Whenever we talk about Moitzi Shem Ra, that is the claim. Not that your daughter was a thief, and not that your daughter is Mechalel Shabbos, but your daughter is not a Besula. Okay. Says Rashi, now Rashi begins to fill us in on the case. Ubo lahafsida Ksubasa. He is coming to damage, to be mafsid haksuba. V'loi lahorgo. But he is not coming to have her killed. Okay? So at the end of the day, we have finally worked out what the case is. He is not claiming that she was mezane tachtof. What does that mean, he wasn't claiming? He says, I have no way of proving it. As Rashi now goes on to explain, she'enoi mevi edim. He's not bringing edus shezinso tachtof, that she was mezane under his jurisdiction. I'm not claiming that. I have no idea. I'm the first one to admit that I have no idea at which point she became a non-basula. So I'm not attempting in any way, says the husband, to have her killed. This is absolutely not an issue of dinei nefashos. So what is his claim? His claim is, listen, I have no idea when this happened, but one thing I do know, that I married her with the understanding that she's a basula, and I'm afraid to say she is not. So what are you trying to insinuate? What are you trying to bring about? You're not trying to bring about a death sentence for your new wife because you yourself admit that you don't have Edim. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to insinuate that I should not have to pay the full ksuba. A ksuba for a basula is 200 zuz. A ksuba for a ba'ula is 100 zuz. In the event that I divorce her, I'm only paying 100. I'm not paying 200. So in other words, this is a financial claim. This is not dinei nefashos. Says Rashi, how do I know that's the case? Says Rashi, de'i anefashos ka'osi. Because if he was coming, ka'osi means he was coming. If he was coming for nefashos, what does that mean for nefashos? If he was really claiming that, not only is she not a basula, but I actually have Edim who testify that she committed znos. Well, that's absolutely a claim of nefashos. Were that to be the case, says Rashi, loy omar Reb Meir b'shleisha, then there's no way that Reb Meir would possibly say you only need three dayanim. So Rashi has answered half of our question. Which half? We asked before, what's the case over here? Is he claiming that he has Eidos? Well, then this is a case of nefashos. Everybody should agree you need 23. If he's not claiming that, then it's just a case of momoin. Well, then everybody should agree you only need three. So we've answered half the question. Rashi says, we cannot be talking about a case where he's claiming nefashos. He is not bringing any testimony. Neither does he claim to have Edim. I'm not coming to have her killed. How do I know, says Rashi? Who told me that secret? Because for that to be the case, how can Reb Meir possibly say that you need three dayanim? This is dinei nefashos. Now, obviously, Rashi at this point has left us in the lurch. Why has Rashi left us stuck? Because you've explained Reb Meir's opinion beautifully, but you haven't explained, so why did the Chachamim need 23 then? What on earth did the Chachamim mean when they say, no, you need 23 because this is dinei nefashos? I thought you've just established that we're not talking about a claim of dinei nefashos. That's what I meant when I said that Rashi's only answered half the question. Reb Meir's opinion, l'chaira, makes perfect sense. Says Rashi, it must be talking that there is no claim of nefashos, because otherwise, how on earth can Reb Meir suffice with three? Okay, great, fine. So what is the claim? He marches into Beis Din. He says, this Isha is not a basula. I have no edus, no evidence whatsoever to suggest that she committed znus. I'm not trying to have her killed, but I am trying to claim that I'm not mechuyev to pay the full ksuba. Ah, so you mean you have a financial claim? Yes, absolutely. So then you'd need three dayanim, says Reb Meir. Absolutely. So what do the Chachamim mean now? What did the Chachamim mean when they said, you need 23 because this is Dinei Nefashis? What does that mean? It's not Dinei Nefashis. So look at the very next Rashi. Here Rashi fills us in over more. And here we bump into one of our favorite phrases in Rashi. The Chachamim Oimrim, the Chachamim claim that you need 23 Mipnei Sheyesh Boi Dinei Nefashis. Kosal kadato. One of our favorite phrases. What does that always suggest, without any exception, that it's only a hava amina? Kosal kadato is one of our favorite phrases. Why? Because it's a rule with no exception. We always have to remember this, Rabbi Yisai. When Rashi says sal kadato or kosal kadato means it's a hava amina. We initially think, meaning it's going to soon change. So everything we now claim or ask or suggest is based on the way that we initially think. Says Rashi, Kosal kadatoch dahochi ka'omri. It's also one of our favorite words. We've pointed out many times that what does the word ka'omar mean? Ka'omar doesn't mean said. It means?
Meat.
Means.
Meat.
And here it's with a yud at the end because it's in the plural. It's going on the Chachamim. Meaning, I know what the Chachamim said, but I need to have explained what do they mean. So Rashi says, Kosal kodatoch. The Havamina is the Hochi Ka'omri. This is what they mean. I know what they said. They said that you need 23 because of Dinei Nefashis. Well, what does that mean? Says Rashi, the way that we understand this initially, this will eventually change. Mishum de Ika. There is sometimes a case of Moitzi Shemra, the Shaykh Beidin in Afoshois. There is on occasion, albeit not this case, but there is on occasion a case of where the husband claims that she's not a Basula and that jolly well would require 23. When would that be? Ukagoin, for example, Shemevi Edim, period. So it sounds like that what the Chachamim are saying are as follows. Yes, it's true that this particular husband is not claiming Dinei Nefashis. Were he to be claiming Dinei Nefashis, Rameya could not possibly say that you only need 3 Dayonim. So we're all on the same page. We know exactly what the case is. He's not claiming nefashis. So why on earth do you require 23 dayonim? Says Rashi, the Havamina was, we thought that what the Chachamim meant to say was, you're right. Even though he's not claiming dinei nefashis, you nonetheless require 23 dayonim. Why? Because there is sometimes a case, Mitzi Shemra could in theory, end up in Dinei Nefashis, even though this particular case will never end up in Dinei Nefashis. Why will it never end up in Dinei Nefashis? Because he's not bringing Edim. Now, stop. What's the obvious question on that? The obvious question is, what is that supposed to mean that it could be? But he's not. He's not. Carry on, Rashi. Uba Gemara Parchinon. It's also one of our favorite phrases. We always point out that whenever Rashi says the Gemara will ask, why is Rashi warning us what the Gemara is going to ask? Why can't we just have patience?
It's not clear.
The answer is because Rashi is alluding to a question which you're going to have immediately, and it's totally non-understandable otherwise. Says Rashi, well done. Good question. The Gemara will ask it. Ubegemara parchinon, v'chi yesh boi dinei nefoshois, my hava. So what? Who cares that in theory they could be dinei nefoshois? My hava. So what? Hashta, but now miha at least love dinei nefoshois. Now it's not dinei nefoshois. Why? The lek edim, because there's no edim. So who in the world cares that in theory? Had he, in theory, brought testimony, then this could, in theory, have been a case of nefashis. Okay, very nice, very interesting. But he's not bringing Aiden. And that's why Rav Meir maintains you only need three dayanim. So what on earth do the Chachamim mean when they say, well, you're right, he's not bringing Edim, but in theory he could have, and then it would have ended up din in a foshes. Okay, very nice. But he could have, but he didn't. Hashta is that main word. Hashta. Now, look at the case that we have in front of us today. When he steps into Beis Din, what's the name, what's the title of this case? Is it a case of din in a foshes? Absolutely not. He doesn't claim to have Edim. So what is that supposed to mean? The Chachamim say, sorry, you have to have 23 dayonim, because were he to bring Edim, then it's a case of nefashas. Yeah, that's true, but he's not bringing Edim.
So how does it work out? So let's say it's a case of tainus besulim. Do they ask him first, well, what are we talking about here? You have Edim, you don't have Edim, because we 100%. Need to know how many judges to bring?
Right, exactly. That's the Gemara's question. He walks into Beis Din, right, can we please hear the claim? Because we need to know what type of Beis Din to assemble. So he says, I claim she's not a basula. Oh, really? You're claiming that she committed znus? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It could well be that she became a non-basula when she was 10 years old. I have no idea. But all I'm claiming is that financially, I'm not mechuyev to pay her full ksuba. So Rameh says, ah, very good. I heard the word financial. We'll assemble a bezdin of three. And what did the Chachamim say? Oh, had you only bought Edim, then it would have been din in nefashos. So we need 23. Says Rashi, well, the Gemara is obviously going to ask, what do you mean, had I brought Edim? But he didn't bring Edim. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So let's just see the first line of the Gemara. I know we spent most of the shiur today just making the introduction, but like I said, it's a complicated Gemara. We need to be clear. So look at the Gemara. The Gemara immediately asks this question. Says the Gemara, V'chi yesh boy dine nefashos? My ever. So what? So what if in theory, this case could have been a case of dine nefashos? Very nice in theory, but it's not. It's not a case of dine nefashos because he's not claiming to bring Edim. So may I have a question mark? So what on earth? Well, what's the Chachamim saying? Why is that a reason to require 23? So we don't have time to see the answer inside, but let's just add one more line, and with this we'll have to finish for today, and then Be'ez Hashem will see it tomorrow. And that is, let's not forget that it's true he's not bringing Edim. That's true. He says, I'm the first one to admit I have no evidence, I don't have any Edim. But imagine word now leaks out into the street. Did you hear? Everybody in the street is now talking about Reuven, who turned up in Beis Din and claimed that his wife was not a basula. Ooh, do you know what might happen? Edim may all of a sudden turn up and say, yes, 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 we know all about this. So even though he's not claiming nefashos, but it might indeed end up in nefashos. Not by the volition of the Baal. He's not claiming to have Edim. But if word leaks out, this is what the Gemara calls la'az, rumors. If rumors leak out into the street, that may trigger Edim to turn up, and therefore this case may very well morph into dine nefashos. Ooh, now we can already begin to see light at the end of the tunnel. We asked, if he's not claiming that she deserves to be killed, what does that mean? Well, in theory. No, it's not in theory. It could be in practice, because Edim may in fact turn up. Okay, we have to hold it over here. We're going to run out of time. But have a look at the Gemara. Keep on going. It's over the Amud. It's a very gishmaka piece of Gemara. Okay.